The podcast you are about to listen to discusses comic books and comic book related media. Be warned, the following will review art, plot, and themes, and will therefore contain spoilers of the materials discussed. Welcome to Comics League International. Welcome to episode 11 of the Comics League International. I am Brent from DeadlyTroubadour.com. With me is the acclaimed author of Spellsword and the Riddle Box, back for a sequel engagement, Mr. Derek Adams.
Yay!
There he goes. And normally, I like to talk about comics with guests, and if you listen to past episodes, not all of them have been sunny, glowing, super positive reviews. But I feel I've really tried to pick stuff with the best intentions and to go through it. And if there's faults, we kind of point them out. Not all of the guests have had just glowing things to say. Some have just genuinely not liked a book, but we go into them with the expectations that, you know, with the hopes that we'll be talking to something we like. This episode is a little different. We're going to be talking about a comic, an original graphic novel that came out in 2012.
And it came out in 2012?
Yeah, 2012.
Oh my God. Okay, I know. Continue. I'm sorry.
And it still has very high reviews. But even 2 years ago, when I read this, I, in my head, and probably out loud, went, wow, this is terrible. And when Derek and I were looking for something, we went back and forth. Do we want to read something really awesome? Or should I just have him read something I thought was awful? Honestly, hopefully that he'll think it was awful too, but maybe for, you know, we don't always agree. Maybe he can convince me of its value. And Derek came back.
Yeah, that is not the case here. Like, so, I think I started reading it, and in the first couple pages, that was my exact reaction. Wow. Yeah. What am I reading?
Yeah.
Why is this happening?
Yeah.
This is terrible.
So,
and now that I know that I was thinking it came out in that, like, period, like, you know, mid to late 90s, where there was lots of sort of like just garbage because people were trying stuff and it didn't work, and that's fine. But 2012,
yeah,
there's no excuse for this bad of a Batman story.
Yes, and what we are reading today is Batman Earth 1 Volume 1 from writer Jeff Johns and artist Gary Frank. If you love this comic, and if you don't want to hear people probably try and call it anything but a child of God,
maybe a child of an evil god.
Oh my goodness.
A child of a poorly written god.
I am Cthulhu, and really, I expect better writing than this.
but yeah, I really don't think we can say many nice things. I don't want to break into just meanness for meanness' sake. I want to tell you why I think this is a terrible, terrible comic.
Yeah, we don't have to be mean-spirited. There is plenty of concrete, empirical evidence of how terrible this comic is.
Yes.
And like, and now that you told me that, like, I didn't pay much attention to when it was written. So that it came out in 2012, it begs the question, like, why was this written?
Well,
like, who decided this needed to be written?
Well, here's a little background for you then.
Oh, wonderful.
The Earth One series, these kind of came out after, I'm probably going to get a little bit of this timeline stuff screwed up, so, you know, please forgive me, listeners. But when DC kind of you know, DC is an ever-rotating thing that reintroduces and then gets rid of its multiverse. You know, I know it hasn't happened that many times, but it's happened at least twice. And when they reintroduce the multiverse at the end of the 52 comic series, one of their projects was to do an Earth One, a relaunched Earth One. I'm not that familiar with the pre-Crisis on Infinite Earths Earth One.
Yeah, I mean, reading it, I was like, okay, this is an opportunity for someone to have all the toys in the Batman box and do whatever they want with it.
Well, the first Earth One that came out was a Superman Earth One by J. Michael Straczynski. And I remember thinking, it's not my favorite thing ever, but, you know, it's okay. But one of the goals of these things that I remember was they wanted to do a grittier or a more set in the real world version of this, especially the what would happen if these heroes happened in a world that wasn't the normal DC universe of heroes all over the place.
Okay.
It almost reminds me in a way of the early 2000s when Marvel relaunched Supreme Powers, which was their Squadron Supreme, of what would happen if this happened in today's world.
Okay. I guess I can see that being kind of the germ of this comic.
Yeah, and kind of how can we get new readers to read these things and let them know you don't have to worry about backstories dating back to the 1930s.
Yeah. Well, my old take on it in general, we'll get to our many specific problems.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems like Geoff Johns took the basic building blocks of the Batman mythos.
Yeah.
He only changed a few things.
Yeah.
Really, if you really think, he only changed a few things, but his changes were either nonsensical, so minor as to not matter, or just horribly offensive to every prior iteration of that character. Like,
I don't know which category you would place this in, because it could go really in any of them. But the main thing I noticed about when in this, I'm going to try not to bash Geoff Johns. He's done other works that I like and other works that I don't like. But in this, it seems that every character, for the most part, like almost all the majority of characters, maybe not Harvey Bullock, but every character, young Batman, Alfred, Jim Gordon, is basically, how would this character be if he were an asshole?
Yeah, if they were a whiny jerk, what would they be like?
If everyone in Gotham was a whiny jerk asshole, how would Batman be?
Yeah, I will say this, because I was looking, after a while I started to look for things that I thought was actually kind of positive.
Yeah.
I kind of liked Harvey Bullock. I was like, okay, that's it's a different take on the character.
It
was not done well.
Yeah.
But at least I was like, okay, I could meet you halfway on this one choice.
Two reasons. Harvey Bullock, typically a very disheveled, very street level, would you call it?
Yeah, he's a brute.
He's a brute. He's a cunning brute, but you know, he's the cop who looks like who should get a shower and might be crooked, but isn't in most things.
So having him be the super posh guy from LA and being really slick and schmarmy, I was like, okay, you move the dial the other way. You're not doing a good job of it.
Yeah,
but. If you had done that with all the other characters and that was the whole point of the comic, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, to me, what kind of prevented me from really getting into Harvey Dent was both that it felt too much like, ooh, I'll do the exact opposite. It felt just too on the nose.
Okay.
You know, and also the fact that the story ends with Harvey being disillusioned and looking at alcohol. And it just felt like, So really the only this is like an origin story for why Harvey Bullock looks disheveled and may become a drunk.
Yeah. And by the end of the comic,
yeah,
every character is on trajectory to be exactly like they've always been.
Yeah. So,
which I'm like, then why did you why bother? Like,
yeah. So let's start from the beginning. Okay. Our opening pages of this. It's basic.
I did like the art.
The art's very pretty. The only, yeah. I mean, Gary Frank, he's done some great stuff. He always, whenever he seems to come out with something new, I see a maturation of his art style. Some pages I did kind of notice he's very pretty. He's very detailed. He's not always the best storyteller.
I really like the sequence of Batman going across the roof and then his grappling gun fails and he falls. That was actually good. Like, yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's really compellingly done.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit it. I was one of those guys who I didn't want to say Batman would never do that, but I did have that moment of like, so your opening silent 10 pages are essentially to make Batman look like a dummy.
Yeah.
I
mean, there's a way to do that where you play with the audience's expectations. Like, yeah. Oh, it's Batman. Batman's going to win because Batman always wins.
Yeah.
And then he fails, and that's supposed to be shocking and be like a doorway into the rest of the story. But here, it just seems like, wait, why did that happen? And then they immediately throw you 20 years in the past to when he's a kid.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, could you give me a transition, please?
Well, this is honestly, it's kind of what happens right after, where I start having the more problems with how it went, is after he falls and fails and lands in garbage, he sees two crooks running away, and we almost get the Spider-Man no more head turn and Batman walking away from crime. And then he sees a homeless woman who's like, don't hurt me, and he gives her money. And
yeah, it's super muddled. Like, it's like, okay, so you're trying to say that this Batman's totally focused on vengeance. So he does not care about helping people, but then he helps a person.
Yeah, but then it's not even really like with the acting of the art. It really kind of came off. I just got the meaning, and maybe this was because I was just looking for, you know, I'm a jerk and I want to find jerky stuff wrong. But it really kind of looked like Batman, his kind of down looking head and closed eyes was like, if I go after these guys, I'm just going to get my butt kicked. Like, yeah. I totally read it as him being like, this is too hard. And then with him giving money, there's always been a kind of line of thought of, you know, critique of Bruce Wayne, of he's an incredibly rich individual. Mm. And the idea of he's out there fighting crime to have an effect. What if rather than investing the millions of dollars in crime fighting equipment, although in this comic he's invested like, you know, $1.75.
Yeah.
What if instead of investing all that money into, you know, a bat plane, what if he really tried to do social change? And so when Batman's first positive action in the this comic is him possibly helping a homeless woman get a hot meal for the night. It's like, is this Jeff John's telling us, like, no, really, honestly, the only way Batman could actually have a positive effect is by being charitable. But then nothing else comes back to this in the rest of the comic. So it's just like, I don't...
Yeah, there's no... They don't return to it. There's no introspection on it.
Yeah.
And like I said, you're immediately thrown into another time period.
Yeah, like, seriously, the next page is...
Foreshadow parlor of Thomas Wayne's mayoral candidacy.
Yeah, yeah. And so I just kind of keep weighing that in my mind. It's like, what are you trying to tell us about this Batman? Is it like, or is this just something you like, and did you honestly realize how much you were writing Spider-Man for these first 10 issues?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got a case of the Parker luck there. You know, he's chasing a crook, but his powers fail, and he falls right into the garbage, and then people run away, and he meets a homeless woman who's scared of him. Like, mm-hmm. you know, all that's missing now is a black costume oozing up to Batman, and then Batman being like, we are Bane. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's just like, I think the word I keep coming back to with this comic, it's just muddled. Like, things happen, but they don't seem to necessarily inform the thing, and it's always jumping to a new, like when they jump to Jim Gordon later on, it was so abrupt that I was like, wait, all right, okay, we're with Gordon now, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
Because they jump to him, and then in, like, what, 3 or 4 panels goes from the death of his wife to, like, to him sitting at his desk. Unknown amount of time later.
Yeah, and it's...
And
it's
I was just confused, like, wait, are you saying that he was at his... Because he was at Bruce's parents' died, and then they jumped to him, and it's a funeral, and you're like, wait, he was at their funeral? No, it's his wife's funeral. I'll realize in 10 more pages.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I actually picked up on that until, like, later on he's like, my wife, man. Because it's just, it's so sudden, and there's no real dots connecting anything, and...
Yeah, like, I mean, I understand sometimes you don't want to have the little yellow box at the top that says at the Gordon funeral, you know, or yeah. whatever.
And this but is kind of because the script is so muddled. This is kind of where I feel that Gary Frank, although like I said, the art is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Each page is the art wise is a really good looking page, but sometimes the storytelling doesn't come off clearly.
Yeah.
Like, even... This is going to sound like such a small nitpick, but I'm looking at that first page where we go back to then. And Alfred is arriving at Wayne Manor. And he pulls up in the beaten taxi cab to see all these, you know, rich cars that we see there that are nice. And he comes up to this elegant door, which somehow evokes Batman. And then he's looking off to the side and sees a rickety right next to the front door on the Wayne estate, Thomas Wayne for mayor. And it almost just feels like, you know, that last panel there just doesn't really, what's he looking at? Because it's not in the, what would you call it? The main shot, the spread out, the establishing shot of the Wayne mm-hmm. Manor. There's no little sign.
Where is that sign?
Yeah. And,
is it on
and,
the roof?
And it's one is of those it? Things of like, Alfred's through storytelling where Alfred is looking doesn't seem to be at the sign, and it's just I mean it's a very nitpicky detail here, true, but because of all these little things it just kind of when you have sudden shifts in timing and you have sudden shifts of locations, all these small little storytale details just make it that much harder. And yeah. when the script is like I don't know, just throw some shit in there.
And he looks at a sign. Draw a sign.
So, yeah, draw it's a sign. And then he goes in there, and we get possibly the worst setup for Alfred to show up in the murder ever. Like, this is paraphrasing it all, but it's the Waynes being like, thank God you're here. I've been receiving death threats. My death threats are so severe that I'm bringing back the man who saved my life in the war. Because, of course, he was in a war. The man who saved my life. I'm bringing you out here because I'm scared of death threats. But, really, don't do anything until tomorrow. I'm not going to listen to anything you say until then.
Yeah, and we're going to the movies. So later.
And apparently, we'll find out in the next pages, we like to go to the shit-ass theater. Like, really, yeah, we found the most broken down, like you look at the backdrop, like, are they going to go watch, like, a dirty movie? Is that where they're taking Bruce? Like, the walls are covered in shame.
God. I think that section also had the awful, like, we're going to the movies. We always go as a family. And Alfred's like, what about all the death threats that you brought me here for? He's like, no, it's important to me that Bruce have a normal life.
Yeah. And,
wink!
And
wink!
And at least they did kind of have Alfred on the next page being like, what do you think? This is normal. So they did kind of highlight it, but it's that kind of thing of like, you're establishing that it's not normal, but it's normal, but you're also really foreshadowing that he's going to die. But we all know going into this, he's going to die. So do you have to, like, hit that note so hard? Like,
yeah, and even got, like, the one panel of his face looking very hopeful. Like, I just want... It's all I want is for him to have a normal life.
Normal life, that's my dream. I mean, really, really, well, the only thing that could have made this more on the nose is him being like, I just hope that no sudden killer were to destroy me and Martha so that Bruce has to grow up obsessed over vengeance.
If I die tonight from these threats of death, it's only my hope that my son will not... be obsessed with threats of death. And bats. Because we have this weird bat samurai armor for no reason.
But that's Alfred's. That, like, later on we get to it, there's weird bat samurai armor. For why just hanging out. Like, someone imported it and was like, where should we put this ancient set of Japanese armor that Alfred Pennyworth owns? I don't know, just put it in the deserted mausoleum.
That's, put it over there.
Okay, throw like a blanket over it. I mean, and just, I can't get over that, like, but you brought me here to say, everyone talks like that in this comic, but you brought me here because of death threats. No, the death threats will wait until I'm mayor, but it's Moody.
Yeah, it's... That's about the point where I was like, why did Brent ask me to read this? Do I have to keep reading this?
Yes,
I do.
Because it's like watching a horrible, horrible train wreck.
Yeah.
So then we go to, like I said, the rundown theater where there's like five people. And we just keep on getting repeated scenes of young Bruce being a jerk. Let's see, what is it? Come on, Bruce, we'll go see it another... We'll come back this weekend. I want to see it tonight! As he runs out the back exit, runs into a other guy. Hey, watch where you're going, kid. I don't have to do anything you say. My parents are the richest people in Gotham City.
Yeah, it's so awful. I'm like, oh God. Why are you making me hate the main character?
Yeah. Welcome to Jeff Johnsville.
It's like, also, like, no kid would ever say that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, so of course the parents get killed.
Didn't in that part where, like, after they get killed, they're like, where's their son? Did he see it? They're like, yes, he saw everything. And they cut to Bruce, and apparently at some point from the moment his parents gotten killed to now, he found some eyeliner and went all real heavy
and just
around
went
both
crazy.
Eyes.
Which is a shame, too, because outside of that, like, you know, the Bruce suddenly really finding a fondness for Robert Smith Cure fashion circa 1985, it's a really well done page because you have him lying there, and then you have the best way I can think of it is it's using like almost trailer, like from a movie, of scene, bit of black, the time passes, another scene, a bit of black, and it's kind of beats and beats, and then but it follows up with, you know, goth Bruce.
Yeah. Well, and at this point in the comic, because at this point, the comic is silly.
Yeah.
Like, it takes itself so seriously that it's silly. And so moments like that, it's like, you know, it's like going to see a play that's a drama. And if they go too far to the drama and you can't take it seriously anymore,
no.
All you could do is laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, a few pages later when they're deciding what to do with Bruce, and he'll have to go into foster care if no one takes care of him. The reason I want to bring up this little panel, or this page, is... have you ever watched anything from Red Letter Media? They did the big kind of Star Wars Phantom Menace yes. reviews.
Yes, I have. Yes,
I really like that side. It's got some funny stuff.
Especially the Star Wars reviews.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of the things that they brought up in one of their reviews of Star Trek that's really stuck into my head is infecting characters with not gay.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of you have a character who... they just want to make sure the audience knows, for no particular reason, this character's not gay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Bones in Star Trek, who randomly, out of nowhere, just had a monologue about my wife and child and blah, 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 and we're divorced. To make sure, like, oh, no, guys, don't worry, it's okay. He's not gay. And that's totally how I feel about this Alfred scene of, like, I'm not a parent. According to this, you have a daughter. She lives with her mother. And so, that's not what I mean when I said I'm a parent. Story moves on. Guys, it's okay. Alfred.
Cool.
He's not gay. Relax.
Okay. Don't,
not gay. He has had sex with a woman at least once.
there's a living evidence.
Not gay. And none of this comes to play. Like, the only reason I can think of for that set of dialogue is just to let people know, dude, it's okay. Whoever's taking care of Batman, he's not gay. Don't worry about it. We got you covered.
Wipe that worry off your brow.
We're only going to push this so far. Because if Alfred were gay, this wouldn't make any sense.
Now, at that point, like I said, at that point in the comic, the dialogue's so clunky
yeah.
that I really stopped, like, beating into it. I just kind of, like, clunky dialogue. Yeah. He has a daughter? That's weird. I wonder if she's going to... Hey, I'm not even going to think about that. Next page.
Of course she's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was... I think that might have been the last thing when the... when they introduced A Case of the Not Gays, that was when I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, because then it's like the sudden shift to the future, and we go back to a funeral, but they never actually say whose funeral it is, and only now looking, I'm like, oh yeah, you're right, that was Mom's thing. But then the next page, like, which could be a day after a funeral, it could be him remembering the funeral, he looks the same age, so who knows, it's his daughter just coming in, it's Jim Gordon's Barbara Gordon daughter being like, hey, I'm happy. Mom may have died yesterday. Look, check it out.
For all we know. Yeah.
I made something. It's Mom's recipe.
It's Mom's recipe.
You know, the woman you I just know that buried. You
God. Actually, Barbara didn't bother me in the comic.
She didn't. I mean, she's not a presence. She is the only thing she does is to let people know that she exists, but she's a reason for Jim Gordon to not act like Jim Gordon, and
yeah, I kind of hated that.
And to be a victim, like, that's really all she is in this. Is, you know, they've got my daughter, I've got to save her. I mean, it's you can't like a piece of you can't dislike a piece of scenery for being a piece of scenery.
Yeah,
and that's all she yep. is here.
Yeah, see, they don't do anything interesting with her. I mean, no. I think maybe because they didn't try to do anything is why she didn't bother me.
No.
No, I was really bothered by Jim Gordon, cowardly victim.
Yeah.
You know, like, that he, like, before we've ever met him, like, we're going to meet him, because we're meeting him right now, mm-hmm. He's a coward, operates within the system, pulls bullet
operates
off,
within the crooked system.
The crooked system. And I'm like, so I'm like, all right, I kind of hate that. That is anti to every other version of Jim Gordon that has ever existed.
Yeah.
But then by the end of the book, he goes back to being Jim Gordon.
Yeah. And
like, why'd you even bother?
And it's both things. I understand they wanted to do a reimagining of all this stuff, but because characters are either exactly the same or they're just the polar opposite of what they were. And this might sound strange, but it always feels like if you're just doing the polar opposite, you're not really reimagining a character.
Yeah.
It's your basic...
Well, it's like, okay, if the whole premise is that this is the real world, this is the real world, there's not a lot of superheroes, there's not a lot of magic and mysticism and heroism and all that. So if the premise is that Jim Gordon is a cop and his wife is murdered, or he believes that she's murdered, and so he decides to totally kowtow to all these criminal systems to protect his daughter, why wouldn't he have just fucking moved out of town? That would keep her pretty safe, Jim. You know?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep being a cop. I mean, I could just go work
at Best Buy. Like you said, maybe his wife died like last week.
Yeah.
She hasn't quite gotten around to it. He's shopping for apartments in Metropolis.
You know. Which would be kind of strange for his daughter to be so chipper about everything, but... Oh my God. Did Barbara kill her? Barbara killed her own mother to get closer to her father? Call Geoff Johns immediately.
That would be a gritty reboot.
My goodness. Nothing says realism like incest. So yeah, we get a scene where, you know, Bruce...
Are you ready to talk about the Alfred-Bruce fight? And I can't believe that's just a phrase that I used, because it really happens in this comic.
Oh my
Alfred
goodness.
Pennyworth fights Batman. That happens. It's a serious, like, dramatic moment.
It's
someone in the comic industry, a professional, sat down and wrote a fight scene between Batman and Alfred.
And, like, okay, if you've never read this and are still listening, this Alfred, they do try and take him more badass. That they want him to be like a war hero, thing like that, which, I mean, kind of growing up...
Shadowy, ex-military, you know, whatever.
Yeah, which, and I kind of get that, but then again, I also grew up with Batman the Animated Series, where I forget when we found out, but it was... Alfred was awesome in that, and we knew he was X-Y
somehow. Oh, yeah,
somehow.
But it was subtle. It was subtle.
Yeah, I mean, this is as subtle as, you know, a turd on the linoleum. But, so we have an old Alfred who walks with a cane, who... What Derek is talking about is who's telling Bruce he's not ready, he's not there, and then Alfred just starts slapping him around. Like, see, you're not ready, you're not ready. Which, you know, okay.
They did establish that Alfred trained him.
Yeah.
They did establish that. Okay,
and
I'll give him that.
At the beginning of the fight, I'll even go for it. He's trying, like, because... Majority of this comic is really there to show that Bruce Wayne is not good at what he's doing.
Yes.
So you have Alfred, and this is in, you know, the last third of the comic. I mean, we're skipping so much absurdity to get here. And this is honestly just the pinnacle of where I was like, no, this comic has nothing redeeming to say about Batman.
It really doesn't.
When, in the middle of Alfred, old Alfred,
beating
up,
the shit out of Bruce,
who is in the prime of his life, Bruce then proceeds to, what, rip off Alfred's artificial leg.
Yeah.
And then he trips him.
Yeah.
Alfred falls down, and then it's like the most absurd thing is Alfred being like, maybe you are ready.
Yeah. Now that you have gotten your ass beaten by a 70-year-old man
with one leg,
triumphed, by like, kicking him in his wounded leg and tripping him.
Maybe you can go fight a real criminal. Like it's so absurd, I just have to put it into words. Batman almost loses to a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. It's way too on the nose, but there it is. And him, like, barely scraping by a not even quite a victory, but that's the, like, yeah, you proved yourself.
By fighting dirty. But also, like, even the whole, like, even if that was Alfred's point, like, you have to be ready to fight dirty to face these mean streets, Batman.
Yeah.
But still, Batman is only an even match for a 70-year-old man.
Yeah, a 70-year-old, I'm going to say it, a 70-year-old cripple. If you've got one leg and have to use a cane, and Batman can barely take you out.
By the skin of his teeth, take you out.
And not really even, like, taking him out, just, like, really surprised, like, you just ripped off my leg.
God.
I mean,
that's
it's
terrible.
And, I think we also have to talk about... There's two things I want to talk about in this still.
Okay.
Oswald Cobblepot Mayor. And let me preface this. There have been comics, there have been Adam West TV shows where the idea of Oswald Cobblepot being a... I mean, even Tim Burton. Oswald Cobblepot for Mayor. Has been done... And, you know, there are positive things to say for the idea of Oswald Cobblepot becoming mayor.
Mm-hmm.
This comic, it starts off when they introduce that idea, because I'll give it credit. They keep on talking about how the premise of why Bruce Wayne's parents got killed, the setup that we're supposed to believe... is that the mayor had it done. Because it's Thomas Wayne for mayor, who's beating the other candidate, who we know is supposed to be crooked and connected. So when we finally get the reveal of who the mayor is, it's Oswald Cobblepot, the Penguin. And if the comic had been better done, you know, like that in and of itself, that's not bad. Sure. I'm willing to go there. But the fact that after that one reveal of him looking all mayoral, first he's flanked by breasts.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm the mayor. These are my ladies. There we go. Mm-hmm. Okay. But any other appearance of Oswald is to show him as grotesque. As possible. Look, I can't eat without getting my face just covered in schmutz. I'm disgusting.
Yeah, it's grotesque.
And it's really, like, from what I remember of Batman Returns, as not so favorable as that movie is, one of the storylines was how can we deceive the voters into not thinking this little creepy man is a monster?
Mm-hmm.
And here, Oswald has been the mayor for, what, a decade at least?
It got to be more, because if he was supposed to be... Okay, maybe a minimum of a decade.
Minimum of
if
a decade.
And when his parents died, okay.
But like, how... I mean, I'm not, you know, trying to say voters always vote for the best candidate ever, but they're probably not going to vote for someone who can't do something as simple as have a meal without coming out dirtier than, like, a 3-year-old.
And let's not even get into his brilliant, every time he needs to take someone out, instead of just, you know, getting a hired thug to kill them, he has a serial killer on the payroll that he has to feed with little girls as payment for that serial killer. So it's
that weird thing of like, wait,
why would you do that? Even if you're like, sure, he's evil incarnate, but if you're a public figure and you're trying to hide that you're evil incarnate so people keep electing you, But you want to have someone murdered, you would have it done by a skilled professional. You would not have a serial killer kill them and also give him a little girl to kill, doubling the possible chance of discovery.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things that you read, and it's really hard to put those pictures together because it makes no sense. Like, it's the only line we really get that kind of sets up, oh, this guy's killing people on behalf of the thing is the penguins.
I don't like excuses. Do what I ask of... Ask, or your youngest daughter is next.
It's flimsy.
And it's like, wait, other than those, like, few lines, it's really like, are these things connected? What? And it's just...
I guess they were trying to say that, like, he would use the threat of your daughter being fed to this serial killer.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, okay, I see where they're going, but... And...
You know what a lot of people do when you murder their child?
Huh.
They get a little angry.
Yeah.
They might try to kill you.
Maybe.
Go to some outside authority.
No, yeah. Yeah, it might. But think about it this way. The penguin, even though kind of the big thing is the Waynes were not killed by the penguin soldier, right?
I didn't even understand that little twist.
Yeah,
but, was gonna kill him, but some other man didn't.
But like this is the thing. This was the penguin's plan to kill the Waynes.
Yeah,
he knows they go out to a movie every whatever night of the week it is, and they come back from the movie by themselves. So what was his plan? He cut the power to the movie theater to get them to leave the movie theater so he could shoot them. Because I guess normally after the movie they just live there for no uncertain time.
I mean, I can't kill someone after they've watched a whole movie.
No,
like, that's just wrong.
You gotta end it. But he didn't know they were gonna run out the back exit where just random violence killed. I'm thinking, like, why? There is no reason. Like, if you know they're the Waynes, then seriously, just have someone go to the front of the theater, look at, have them wear a movie uniform. Like, I'm doing a theater sweep. Yep, there they are. Oh, there's the Waynes. Let me go back to the theater. Let me walk behind them and shoot them in the head during the movie. And this is comic book logic, movie logic. The silencer would only go poofed, which isn't, you know, a real thing, but it's a comic book. It would have... But they,
it was awful.
Otherwise, they'll never leave unless we cut the power.
Have to cut the power. So they'll leave.
Because rather than, you know, having one theater end and, like, the five people in there leave, we want the whole building to be evacuated.
Yeah, to empty out.
Because nothing makes a hit easier than a lot of bystanders, a lot of confusion, and a few witnesses. You know, I mean, really... Why would we want to be subtle about it?
I mean, under what conditions was this thing written? Did he, like, write this in, like, a week?
I don't, like, I mean, the art must have taken long. Like, I'm wondering if he wrote something and then got the art and was like, what was I doing? And also, I'm flipping through the Batman getting beat up by Alfred again. It's just ridiculous. Also, the main physical threat of the comic. How do we even describe that figure? Like,
it's like someone's grandmother's idea of a scary serial killer. It's just a big brute with a mask.
He's like, got a burlap bag over his head, and he's really muscular. Like,
He's got the room painted to look like it's a birthday room, and it's just like, yeah, it's no good.
Yeah, but we gotta respect Batman the Detective. We get foreshadowing that Martha Wayne's family were the Arkhams, and the place that's not Arkham Asylum, the Arkham Manor, it's all rusty. It looks like it's covered in blood.
Oh, yeah. That, actually, I had a question. Is that a thing in normal Batman continuity?
I think they might have done it after this.
I mean, I feel like the Arkham and the Arkhams have become way more important since those video games became really popular.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But I had actually never heard that Martha Wayne was an Arkham. I was like, oh, that's actually kind of neat. I don't know, but I didn't think that was a common...
I think this might be the first thing to really done it. And I mean, sure, whatever, you know. But...
Yeah, okay, sure.
It just gets me, it's that they kind of keep bringing it up enough, but like, the Arkham Manor, it's covered in rust, and don't go in there. Bad things happen in there. Don't go in there. So of course they have to go in there. Yeah. You're saying? Hmm?
No, that was the one thing that they kind of, there was an idea they kind of batted at a little bit.
Yeah.
It was like the whole concept of the Waynes and the Arkhams built Gotham.
Yeah.
Those families have made Gotham what it is. And I was like, oh, that's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And then like, well, anyway, birthday serial killer.
And I mean, I know they've done more with that with other things, especially in like, strangely enough, the Jonah Hex series. Mm. Where Old West meets the Arkhams.
Cool.
But, I mean, here's the thing where I kind of go back to it, is at some point Batman sees, I don't know, what was it, footprints, tire tracks, something, and he looks at it and he goes, rust.
Rust.
There's only one place in Gotham that has rust.
Every other place is spotless.
The Arkham Manor. Let's go get the rust.
So stupid. And had my least favorite of many terrible Batman moments. When Batman's in there and Gordon and Bullock are in there trying to get his daughter, and they have the like, oh, God, I'm here to save my daughter. And Batman's like, not my problem. Like, really?
Yeah.
So instead of arc, he's just a straight line.
There we go. I'm just, And the whole thing of just like, because they make a big deal out of the house just looks like it's covered in blood because it's so rusty, but then you go in there and there's stuff that I'm pretty sure is supposed to be blood, but it's all over the place, but is it rust? It's just like, I'm not really sure which part you don't, like, you have wooden stairs that are covered in either rust or blood, but because your color palette's the same thing, and you're really trying to make the point that the violence is restricted to just one aspect, like, I just want to ask, do you know that typically wood doesn't rust?
Are you aware? Well, remember, Brent.
Yes.
Maybe you're forgetting something. This is Earth 1.
Ooh, you're right. Maybe wood does rust.
So check your privilege, reader.
Forgive me. Different Earth 1.
Wood rusts. Serial killers are reliable employees.
Yep. And, you know,
you can't prove you're a man until you fought a 70-year-old.
Did you read late 90s, early 2000s, when, Garth Ennis and, who was the artist? It's right on the tip of my tongue. Steve Dillon, did The Punisher.
Mm-mm. I mean, I might have read a random issue, but I don't remember.
Well, they're one of the things they had in that story. It was also in the Thomas Jane Punisher movie. The character, the Russian.
Okay.
Which was, they just had a huge brute of a man who was just a wall of muscle and kind of crazy looking, who could just take enormous amount of punishments. But in there, the kind of point of the Russian was that you could just kind of feel it was so totally tongue-in-cheek, like a lot of that Punisher series was, and that, like, no, this is a ridiculous idea, but we're going with it because we're just in the mood for some ridiculousness, fun with the Punisher. And whenever I see their birthday killer, even right down to the striped shirt, even though the color scheme is different, I just keep thinking, like, did they read those Punisher issues and go, like, man. That's awesome. The Russian character. That's dark, man. I bet if we put a burlap sack over his head, he'd be even darker.
this comic is killing me. But that was also the thing, like, they spend a lot of effort to hide the birthday killer.
Yeah.
For most of the comic. You're like, okay, it's obviously going to be someone I recognize.
Yeah.
From other Batman stories. You know, it's going to be some different version of a character. Okay. And then they're like, and here he is. And I'm like, I don't know who that is.
It's
and then in the comic, I was like, I still don't know who that is. I guess it was no one. Okay.
Yeah, it's just that kind of like, really? That's your main threat? And then the moment that, well, the Penguin also manages, he's not quite as deadly as a 70-year-old man, but the Penguin also manages to beat up Batman. You know, stabs him with an umbrella, hits him in the head with an ashtray, and then unmasks him. And did you have that moment?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Where the moment he unmasked me, like, I guess the Penguin dies. Like, oh, you saw Batman's face. You're no longer going to be in Earth One. And Alfred shows up because, I don't know, his bat signal went off. And he shoots the mayor out the window. And
so Batman can still have his hands clean.
Yeah, yeah, Batman
still has his... They don't really want to change the character. They want to put some trappings on it. See, if they had said, okay, I want to write a Batman that is obsessed with vengeance, and, like, all the normal Batman rules are out the window.
Yeah.
It may not... Like, at least that would be a choice.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, I'm murdering everyone I get my hands on. You know, like...
I'm the Bat-Punisher.
I don't think it would be good, necessarily, but at least it would be a choice. And this thing, like, their whole portrayal of Batman and Bruce just seems like this weird, tone-deaf, middle-of-the-road, like, everything he does is nonsensical. Like,
yeah,
I'm gonna get revenge, but...
Only on one person. And that's the whole reveal at the... Well, before we get... Lucius Fox, I think, also just shows they don't know what they're doing with the characters. Because, like, for no reason, it seems... And they want to make them isolated and stuff like that, but it's like, you know, you're working here. Didn't you used to do better stuff? Yeah, but I punched my boss in the face. He did something that, I don't know, was something, and so I punched him. Because in the world of Earth One... Everyone's a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. I've been in situations where I've really wanted to hit people because I thought they were being, you know, deserving of it. But it's like, if you solve your inter-office conflicts by punching someone in the face, one, chances are you don't get demoted, you get fired.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you're a jerk.
Yeah.
Hey man, did you do the paperwork I wanted? No? Well, why not? Because punch you in the face.
Okay,
I guess I'll let you work in isolation. But, I mean, the whole thing of, like, having the Penguin's master plan of cut the power go wrong so that random guy can kill it and have the Penguin, of course, confess before Alfred shoots him is like, I wanted to kill your parents, but
my intricate plan failed somehow.
Cut the power. It was foolproof, but Gotham took it away. It's what Gotham does. Is just to have Batman being all like, no, I can never stop. I always have to. I thought I was just gonna take care of one guy, but it's the whole city. Huh. Yeah.
I think I put it, when I put up a review, a little short review on Goodreads, and I don't think I've ever seen the Batman mythos used so poorly to less effect.
Yeah, no, and that's really all of it.
Like, it's not even, like, fun bad.
No.
Like, it's not even, like, what is even happening? This is ridiculous. It's just like, oh, this is boring and muddled and not good.
And It's bad when something is both muddled and really predictable.
Yeah.
I really don't quite see what's going on, and yet somehow I know exactly where all this is going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a really strange set of circumstances. One minor nitpick, just to start wrapping all things up.
Mm-hmm.
We get a nice little one page of Barbara Gordon, who got rescued from the birthday person. You know, I sometimes feel like every time we see her, her age looks different.
yeah.
You know, but she's sketching a Batgirl outfit. Because, of course, she's got books on karate and self-defense and judo and SAS and martial arts and Capoeira Tuho. Oh, whatever that is. I'm reading the names of the books on it. But this is just a little minor nitpick. When artists have character sketch things, and the sketches are in the exact style of the rest of the art, it's just always one of those things that I kind of wonder about and go like, huh, is that person supposed to be a really good artist, or did the artist just be like, you know, fuck it, I don't care, or...
We gotta ship this book.
Do it.
Whatever.
Yeah. Oh, we also forgot the whole subplot of Jim Gordon not liking Harvey Bullock, because Harvey Bullock just starts talking about how hot that redhead was.
Oh, man. Yeah, they made that joke like 5 times.
Dude,
I've had to spend some time with that.
I hope she's not someone I know's daughter, because boy, would I like to put my penis inside her, wink! Get it?
And also because, like I said, her age was sort of ambiguous.
Yeah.
You were like, well, so wait, is she supposed to be like 15 or 16? Is she supposed to be 18? Is she supposed to be in her 20s? She's still living with her father, so I was led to believe that she's somewhere, you know, 18 to 20, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like she first shows up and it's that nebulous comic age. Like, is she a woman or is she a girl? Is Harvey Bullock, are you a pedophile? Do we need to call someone? And it just, like, it just keeps going. And then we get teased that, you know who might be the next villain?
The Riddler.
Riddle me this. Who is...
Riddle me this.
Which, I mean...
This is a riddle, I'm going to tell you.
Well, I'm assuming it could be the Riddler. It's so subtly done.
It's so tastefully understated.
Like,
who knows what they mean?
The one page starts off with a close-up on a question mark and a slow pull down to articles of Batman with question marks all over the place. And then we get the dialogue. Who is Batman? Turn the page! And a figure... literally scratching his head, looking at like a Homeland style conspiracy map, going, what a riddle. So it might not be the Riddler.
I just want to lay down. Like, I just...
Yeah.
Like, you know when you read something that's bad?
Yes, I do.
You get the righteous fury. You know, where you are pissed off. And you are angry, and you want to burn all of it away with a holy fire.
Mm-hmm.
But this is bad, but it's so mediocre that you can't even work up that level of passion about it, you know?
Yeah. What really kind of makes me stop and wonder is looking at online reviews of this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's highly rated.
Who liked this?
I mean, just various sources. Like, IGN gave it, like, a 9. Over a 9 out of a 10.
IGN's scale starts at 8. So.
Good point. And, like, I mean, Goodreads, I think, had it, like, at a 4 out of 5. The average Amazon rating is 4 out of 5. Like, a lot of people went, wow, this is great. And a sequel was supposed to come out in 2013 but it's finally coming out in 2015. It's coming out maybe in March. I don't know. And
I'm not going to read it.
Are you sure?
No. No. There's only so much life in my frame. There's only so much time on this globe.
Yeah.
I will not cram more terrible stories into it if I can help it.
It's...
like, it's not even like a train wreck where I just want to see how stupid and fucked up it is. It's like...
what it is it's a traffic jam. It's like you're stuck in traffic, and you're going through, and you're inching along, and each new thing is just somehow, like, not really well done and interesting, but you just kind of inch along. You're like, well, maybe at least there'll be something, like, spectacular to finish this off, and it just kind of whimpers along. And really, the funnest moment of the entire thing is the Alfred Bruce fight.
Yeah.
Like, that... because I can honestly make the joke of the one-legged man ass-kicking contest. Like, that's the best part. It's like, there we go.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's... it's not a train wreck. It's a traffic jam.
Yeah.
You get to watch lots of bad mistakes being made.
Yeah. You know,
and it's going to take forever, and you're not going to have a good time. And why would you ever willingly...
yeah.
Enter into another traffic jam.
This is one of... and you're just watching this one driver who keeps trying to change one lane to the other, and you're like, no one's going anywhere. Why are you changing lanes? You're staying in the same place. You're not really deviating from the... you think you're deviating from the path,
mm-hmm.
but in the end, you just end up in the same exact place around with everyone else, and you're just stuck there.
That metaphor was better than this actual comic.
My God. Yeah.
So I'm glad let's read something we like.
Yeah, time. Yeah. We'll find...
we kind of knew... like, you knew you hated it.
I did.
You knew that I was going to not like it, too.
Yeah, I did.
And let's pick something quality next time.
Yeah, we'll definitely find something that makes us feel like a kid and be like, woohoo, that was so fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, where can they find you on the web?
You can find me at www.spellsword.com. I'm also on Twitter at @GDerekAdams. But yeah, you can find me pretty easily.
Yeah.
And I look forward to interacting with you.
And you can buy his books from Amazon.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Yep, yep. And you can find me at deadlytroubadour.com. You can also listen to this podcast, and you can rate it and review it, and it would make me feel very happy. If you want to hear me and other people talk about Japan, which is where I live, then you can also find the Living Japan podcast on iTunes, or go to livingjapanpodcast.wordpress.com and hear our commentary on that. Very few comic books get talked about, though.
So what's the point?
Really. Hopefully, this should be coming out the first week of January. And if deadlines are hit from my art team, then my first novel, Deadly Troubadours, with an S, should be coming out right there in the middle of the January. So
awesome.
Keep your
I'm very
eyes
excited.
Peeled for that. If you want
Sweet.
To contact me through email, you can go... send me an email at deadlytroubadour@gmail.com. And let me know, you know. Do you want to hear something else? If there's someone out there who can explain how this is good, I kind of want to know.
I would be interested to hear that.
Yeah.
And not in, like, a mean way. Like, if you like this, please... like, I would love to hear that explanation of how this is good.
Yeah. Because when I do see all those good reviews, and I see, like, the cumulative or the average rating is high, I kind of go, is it me? Do I not get it?
Am I just out of it? I'm not in touch with the kids anymore.
and their fro-yo. And their stuff. Well, that's all for this episode. I feel kind of soulless and empty inside. I might go get a cookie, and I might go read a good comic.
Yeah, or go read a good comic. Yeah. That's the moral.
Yeah. Okay, bye, audience. Bye. Have a good day.